Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years, 15,000 surgeries. Crazy, just crazy. What a joy I had this week. An Armenian woman, almost 90 years old, 13 years ago, I did one of her knee replacements. Did great. 13 years later, she now can't walk because of her other knee. And I see her in pre-op before the surgery with her son, who's about my age. She doesn't speak English very well, but the moment I opened that curtain and saw her face, it wasn't that I should shake her hand to say hello, good morning, for me to mark the correct knee. Oh, no. She looked at me with those eyes and said, Dr. Clapper, I've been waiting months. I'm so excited to see you in this beautiful broken English. It's such an amazing joy. Her appreciation for what I did last time so she could walk and get to be 90 years old. And now this other knee's just pooping out and she ain't going to anybody else. And I loved it. But her son was there and also tremendous appreciation for me to take care of his mom. I just love it when I can see a whole family, multi-generational, particularly the American dream where the mom or the grandmother doesn't speak English, be it Russian or Korean or Armenian. But the kids, particularly the granddaughters, I love it, they're big Taylor Swift fans. They are full-on American, and they don't know from Armenian or anything else, except they are, and proud of it. And this beautiful son said to me, on behalf of the whole family, thank you so much for taking care of our mom. And I said, it's just such a joy. And I could sense that it wasn't going to be enough, at least for me, for that moment, for me to just be the hero in the room. So what did I do? I looked at the son. I said, does your mom cook? Oh, Dr. Clapper, she's the greatest cook. She makes this and that and all the rest. And I looked at him and I said, does she make baklava? You know, that beautiful Mediterranean diet. How appropriate for today's topic. Does she make? Because the entree, the appetizer, I'm not a big fan of anything. I want to go right to dessert. Life is short. Might as well have dessert first. And he says to me, oh, she makes the greatest desserts. I said, does she make baklava? Yes, Dr. Clapper. And at that moment, I turned to her and I said, I'm going to trade you. I'm going to do one knee and you are going to make me baklava. And the woman's face, that she could do something from her heart for me, that we are teammates from completely different worlds. It was just, I hadn't even done the surgery yet. And of course I did it. Everything went beautifully. She's going to be just so happy. But I don't need her to make me baklava, but she would love to feel like she's participating and not just the recipient of what I can do. It was a great moment. You know, after 31 years, each of these moments are so special to me. And I just love the son appreciating that, wow, his mother's going to be able to thank Dr. Clapper in her own way. It was really great. Today's show, speaking of Armenia, speaking of baklava, at 8:15, I'm so excited. My guest calling in is the great Jessica Siegel. Who is Jessica Siegel? For 18 years, she's been the lead dietitian for Gelson's Markets. They're just the greatest market in Los Angeles. We're blessed to have them because the food is incredible. The produce is incredible. And she's designed these dishes with her signature for 18 years, with her specialty being the Mediterranean diet. So what's so special about the Mediterranean diet? She's going to explain, but you can only imagine. It's food from the Mediterranean, because whether you're Greek or Italian or Spanish, you live longer. You have less chance of cancer, less diabetes. You know, your whole happiness of life is better because of the food you eat. Fresh vegetables, fruits, olive oil. Emphasis on olive oil. And lean meats and fish and all the rest of it. She's going to teach us about the Mediterranean diet. So you can imagine, I'm thinking all week, what am I going to talk about as it relates to the Mediterranean diet in my passions of art, of sports, and of surgery? Well, one thing that's clear about the Mediterranean diet, other than it comes from the Mediterranean area, is it's a simple concept, simple foods, basic foods, yet they work in an incredibly complicated way. Last night, we watched the Lakers, our beloved Lakers, and that ripped T-shirt of Luka Doncic. He's from Croatia, which is on the Adriatic Sea. And if there's one vacation you want to go on in life, go to Croatia before it gets ruined. The Adriatic Sea, like the Mediterranean Sea in the days of Michelangelo, is one of the most spectacular bodies of waters to see. Even in 2020, I can't even let a photograph describe how beautiful the Adriatic Sea is, because it's this turquoise, Dubrovnik, Split, all these places in Croatia. The tide washes the water out aggressively, and there's no sand. So it's like looking at a swimming pool that's turquoise. It's really incredible. Luka Doncic is from Croatia. So it made me think, okay, here's this superstar. Last year, the MVP of the NBA was the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? He's from Greece. And the rookie of the year is Luka Doncic, who continues to blossom. Who was the first superstar that joined the NBA that blew our minds? For me, Tony Kukoc. And you'll hear some sound bites if Steve Paulette can get them up, of how special Tony Kukoc was. For one thing, talk about simple being complex, he was a world-class ping-pong player. This whole idea, this is why Kobe was such a good basketball player, because his first sport, like Steve Nash, was soccer. Court visualization. You better see the field when you play soccer. Well, if you now take a soccer player and make him a basketball player, they're going to bring those gifts. I don't know the first thing about ping pong, but I can tell you, if you're really good at ping pong, you're probably going to be a good basketball player. They all interact. Tony Kukoc, simple and complex. And they won three rings, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, because he was there. Because there was many a night that they didn't show up 100%, and they relied on Tony Kukoc, a sharpshooter, 6'11", amazing. What about in art? Where in art do we see the Mediterranean diet, the idea of something simple being complex? 2,500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, the civilization that invented algebra, trigonometry, pretty much mathematics as we know it, were the Greeks. Their civilization was incredible. To show off to the world and to themselves, 2,500 years ago, they picked the highest spot in their city, Athens. It's called the Acropolis, to build the perfect building. And it's called the Parthenon. There's no bulldozers. There's no trucks. There's no cranes. There's no computers. There's no lasers. How do you schlep the marble up to the highest point in the city without power tools? This perfect building, this rectangular building, the Parthenon, they build it in 8 years. There are over 70,000 separate blocks of tons of marble. Over 70,000 pieces, like a jigsaw puzzle with 70,000 pieces. Not one block of the 70,000 is the same. Why is that? Because these Greeks in the Mediterranean, they discovered that from a distance, if you wanted a marble column to look straight, you couldn't build it straight. You had to build it with a gentle 11 degree, not 9 degree, not 12 degree, 11 degree slope angle of the column, because then from a distance it looks straight. Go try and restore. They spent 100 years now trying to restore the Parthenon because of air pollution and the damage to the marble. We've got all the modern tools. They still can't do it. It's taken over 100 years. These guys built it in 8 years. So the straight column is curved. You then look at the foundation from a distance. It's a perfect rectangular cube. The foundation is flat as can be, right? One of the architects in this remodel stood on one end of the foundation. The cameraman stood on the other end of the building. Guess what? You couldn't see the architect because it's not flat. It's actually convex. The foundation actually curves. But from a distance, that's what makes it look straight. You talk about a Mediterranean diet, something simple that has complex features. That's exactly what the Parthenon is. And don't get me even started about the sculptures built by a man named Phidias. He was the Michelangelo of the Greek days. And he built this battle scene on the facade of the Parthenon. And in 1801, the ambassador of England, Elgin, shows up and says, those look nice, let's take them, and rip them off the building, thank you very much. Probably it's good that he did this, because now they were no longer outdoors getting injured by the acid rain and the air pollution, so they got preserved, but they actually belong in Greece, not in England, but that's a whole other story. And I went to the British Museum to see these sculptures. Sculptures that Phidias made to just appear on the facade. In other words, no one was ever going to go behind or see behind these sculptures because they are on the face of the building. But in the British Museum, they put them in the middle of the floor. So guess what I did? I walked behind the sculptures of this battle scene with horses and soldiers and whatnot. And you know what I found? That even though Phidias knew no one was ever going to see the back of this sculpture, he finished them completely. Think about that. He finished the sculpture completely, even though no one was ever going to see the back of it. And you know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of sports, where the greatest athletes, be they Tiger Woods as a golfer, be they Michael Jordan as a basketball player, Kobe Bryant, when you ask Tom Brady, why can you throw the football so accurately? You know what he says? Follow through. So I ask you this. What the hell does the football care? Once it's been released from your hand, what you do with your arm? Because that's what follow through is. Or Roger Federer, a tennis player, he'll tell you, I'm accurate hitting a tennis ball, not because I hit the ball, but because I follow through. What does the ball care what happens to your racket after it's off the racket? And yet every elite athlete will tell you, oh no, my accuracy comes from follow through. And that's exactly what the sculptor must think. Phidias, even though no one's ever going to see the back of the sculpture, in order to make it the front that you will see perfect, you have to complete the back. This is the beautiful connection, which I love to do, of surgery, of sports, and of art. So Jessica Siegel thinks she's going to be talking to me just about a diet. I got news for her. We're going to get into even more detail because it's fascinating to me that this simple diet has such complex results. And in surgery, where do I see simplicity being complex? Look at your knee. Many of you are going skiing now because the snow is great. You're going to end up in my office because you tore your ACL. We have all the complicated tools now. Fiber optics. I got all kinds of robots. I got all kinds of things at my disposal. You know what simplifies the surgery for me to make it so successful when I rebuild someone's ACL? That I keep it simple. I don't use a robot. I don't use a computer to tell me where the new ligament should go in the bone when I reconstruct it. You know what I do? I use the arthroscope to see exactly where God put that ligament in your bone. We call it the footprint. Where was the attachment of the ligament on your tibia, on your femur? And that's all I do. I put the graft exactly where it was before. And when you have people who've had an ACL reconstruction and they didn't do well, the knee is loose again or it falls apart and breaks down, and it's because the surgeon didn't simplify the complicated surgery. If they don't put the ligament back to the exact spot, that's why you have to be an artist when you're a surgeon, in my opinion. You have to put the ligament exactly where it was before. And then when the knee is straight and when it bends, the ligament is not stressed. It doesn't stretch out. It doesn't fail. It's called the instant center. It's a biomechanical term, but it's exactly in the right spot for success. The number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll take your calls as well. What a great show I've planned. And in studio, we have the great Reed Fowler, who knows more about football. And we got a lot of football this weekend to talk about. But I'll take your calls. The clinic will be open as well. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show every Saturday morning here in Los Angeles. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Steve Paulette, you're amazing. Technical difficulties with the sound bites, and man, you made it all happen. Fortunately, Dr. Clapper can talk even without sound bites. My mother's up there in heaven going, he's such a ham. I love it. And the lines are all lit up. I can't believe it. 7 o'clock in the morning. God bless you all. I appreciate it. All right. Then you know what? Let's do some Clapper vision. Let's open the clinic. Let's go to Danny in Orange. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapper. How are you?
Very good, Danny. How are you? You listen to the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's your favorite story after 9 years?
I guess all the knee and back stories. I got bad knees, bad back.
Okay. Do you like when I talk about art and talk about food?
I like the food part. Not too into art, but the food part always makes me hungry.
Okay. I'm a chocoholic, but I got to tell you something. One of the greatest desserts. Anytime you can mix sugar and cinnamon, life is good. Those two spices were meant for each other. And the greatest way to get sugar and cinnamon together for me is rice pudding. And it's a dessert that poor people like. So I didn't grow up with any money. My mother used to save the rice, usually from Chinese food, and she would take the leftover rice and make a custard out of it, put raisins, and put cinnamon in it. Okay? I grew up, it's one of my favorite desserts. So I search in Los Angeles for the greatest rice pudding. Oh my God, I have found it. A little later in the show, I'm going to tell you where it is. But if you like rice pudding, there's nothing quite like it. This rice pudding is airy like eating a pillow. Phenomenal. All right, Danny, what do you do for a living?
You're going to leave me hanging.
Okay.
Wondering what that rice pudding
That's
is.
That's right. Exactly. I'm trying to learn the radio business, Danny.
There you go.
What do you do for a living?
No, I'm in the IT business.
IT. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Did you read that book about Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson?
Actually, I did not.
All right, then you got to do me a favor. The next couple of weeks, please read that book. Because I just talked about Phidias the sculptor, even though you don't like art, but I'm going to drive it down your throat anyway, who made these sculptures for the Parthenon. Even though no one was ever going to see the back of the sculptures because it was on the facade, the front of the building, when they took them down and you got to walk behind the sculptures, you saw that he completely finished the back of the sculptures, even though no one would see him. If you took that iPhone of yours and did have a screwdriver, which you don't, that could pull apart the back of it, and you looked inside the guts of that iPhone, you know what you would see? You would see the most beautiful alignment of the circuitry. It's pretty to look at because Steve Jobs grew up with a father who, when he was 8 years old, they painted a fence. And Steve Jobs said to his dad, okay, we're done. We painted the front of the fence. Let's go inside. And the father said, no, Stephen, we're not done. Why, we got to paint the back of the fence, he said to his father. No one's going to see it. Because his dad said, when you do something, you need to do it right. even if no one's going to see it. And that's what's in that book. That's why you got to read that book about Steve Jobs, Walter Isaacson. Okay, how can I help you?
I'm actually calling for my son, who's 8 years old, and he's got fractures to his distal second, third, and fourth metatarsals. So really, I was just trying to see, super active, play soccer, basketball, you know, and he's had a boot on for about 4 weeks, and they were going to take it off, and then they said he needed to keep cool for another 4 weeks, but he can't. You know, I'm afraid he's, so we're going to leave it on. But I was just wondering, as far as the recovery process, when can he start, you know, kicking a ball without hurting it, you know, that type of thing.
So your son needs...
Long-term, too.
He needs, obviously, a final x-ray to show consolidation of the bone. And I can almost promise you it's going to heal. And it's going to heal just fine. And the reason is how tall are you, Danny?
I'm 6 foot.
You're 6 foot, and look at your 8-year-old. Look how little he is. Your 8-year-old is going to be at least 6 feet, okay? His bone right now, let me give you, you ready for a clapper vision?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you ever see the Cheech and Chong movie where they load up this giant reefer and this smoke is coming out of the van? I don't know what it was like a mega joint that they rolled, this giant thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Compare the size of that mega reefer that Cheech and Chong made to a crayon, like a Crayola crayon. Mm-hmm. Your son's bone, his metatarsal, is a Crayola crayon. Your 6-foot adult male metatarsal is as big as that giant reefer that Cheech and Chong smoked, where I think there's like dog poop in it or something, right? It was like, it's the funniest scene in the world, right?
There was Labrador in it.
Exactly, right? That's your metatarsal. You got a Labrador metatarsal, okay? Basically, what I'm trying to say is the Crayola crayon can fit inside the Labrador reefer, your metatarsal. So no matter how crooked your son's break was, when he is skeletally mature, 16, 17 years old, you won't even know that he ever broke his foot, because it will completely remodel to be the adult size, and you'll never know. It's the one area of the body that heals without a scar. You rip up your liver, your spleen, your skin, your heart. The scar in the healing. When a bone breaks in a child, you ain't going to see it as an adult. It disappears because of the growth that takes place. So you need an x-ray to confirm that everything's come together, and I'm 100% certain that's going to happen, but you do need an x-ray to show that. And I got news for you. If your son hurts, he's going to limp. He ain't going to be running around. But if he's running around, he has no pain, clinically, it's healed. And I do want you to make sure that a pediatric orthopedic surgeon is keeping an eye on him. I mean, it's great. I'm a general orthopedic surgeon. I take care of kids and adults. But for something like this, he's going to play soccer. It's multiple bones in his foot. You make sure you have a pediatric orthopedic surgeon take a look.
Yeah, no, we've definitely got him. He actually had an x-ray on Friday, so they said it was healing fine. But they told him another 4 weeks of kind of no sports activity. So I was just kind of curious, is that once the 4 weeks is up and everything's –
he's going to be, he'll be pretty much as good as new.
Okay. Good to know.
Now, Danny, I want you to do me a favor. I just did you a favor. I helped you out. I want you to find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Oh, I already got that on the board to do. I'm already booked all day to go do favors.
You're a good man, Danny. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for telling your friends.
All right. Thanks.
All right. God bless you. All right, Warriors. We'll take one more. Steve Paulette says it's okay. Let's go to Christine in North Hills. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help? You there, Christine?
Hi. Good morning, Dr. Clapper.
How are you? Jean Crawford says every female listener only listens to my show. She don't listen during the week. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I listen here and there, Dr. Clapper.
What's your favorite story I've told?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I'm so sorry. It's been a while that I listened, but you know, my husband has gotten on with you for an issue he had once upon a time.
I love that. Good for you.
Yeah.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm an accountant, Dr. Clapper.
So you're like, you know all the rules of nine and all the rest of that stuff, right? You're a math person.
Yes.
So jealous. I'm so jealous. You know what's the thing about math? You go to school like everybody else. You sit next to all these kids. And if you got a brain like yours, what as soon as the teacher says what they're saying, you go, uh-huh. Like, it makes sense to you. For the rest of us, we sit there and the teacher's blah, 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 talking like in the Peanuts cartoons. And I got to go home and study it because I have no idea what the hell they're talking about. It's so unfair when you have a head for math. Anyway, what can I do for you? How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clem. Yes. So my son, he plays soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a podiatrist and he was having pain in his arches.
Mm-hmm.
So the podiatrist put him in a special orthotics, especially for his soccer cleat. And then all of a sudden, my son starts having pain again in his arches.
Okay, so let me tell you something. I have clapper vision. I don't have x-ray vision, but I kind of have x-ray vision. There's a great expression in medicine. When you hear hoofbeats, don't think of zebras. Think of horses. There's all kinds of things that can cause pain in an arch of a growing kid, okay? But one of the things that this almost sounds like to me is the following. The arch of your foot, which, by the way, is a double arch. What do I mean by that? There's an arch that goes from your heel bone, the calcaneus, to the balls of your feet, the metatarsal head. It goes north-south. There's an arch in that direction. But guess what? There's also an arch from your big toe to your little toe. It's two simultaneous arches. So if you, Christine, took your shoes off and you went to the beach, and you know when the ocean comes up and it's kind of like damp, but it's not the dry sand? If you jump from a height with your feet perfectly together and you landed and then you jumped out of the footprint of both feet, you know what you would see as your footprint in the sand? You would see a dome. Just like what's in Florence, the Duomo, you would see a complete dome because your feet actually are two half domes that come together. The apex of the arch is a bone called navicular. And why is it called navicular? Because it's shaped like a canoe. And in Latin, navigate is a boat. So that's where it comes from, the navicular bone. And it can occur quite often that you actually have an extra bone there. It's called an accessory navicular. So the tendon that attaches to the bone is attaching to the extra bone and not to the main bone, and it can cause pain in a kid and cause them to have the arches, to have the problems you're describing. So you need to have this looked at, and I have a couple of favorite foot and ankle surgeons. If you want, you'll make the slip. Where do you live? North Hill. So you can come to Cedars. It's not that far for you. David Thordeson and Timothy Charlton. You call Cedars and you take your son in there and have them take a look, because they need to look for an accessory navicular or other reasons for this. Just giving, you know, arch supports is certainly great, but you need a diagnosis. Is it a ligament, tendon, or is it coming from the bone itself? Because this will have ramifications for your son in the future. You don't want to mess around and just give an arch support. You really need to know, why does he have the problem? And that, to me, is most important. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
All right, Christine, I want you to find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
All right. My pleasure. God bless. All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. I want to talk to Reed Fowler about the football games this weekend. And I also want you to hear some sound bites of the architects trying to remodel the greatest thing in the Mediterranean other than Jessica Siegel's diet, the Parthenon. What a story this is. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. The Beach Boys, Kokomo, sailing around the Mediterranean. Got to be a bucket list. I went up the Adriatic Sea in a boat, stopping at the different islands, took a bicycle, rode around on the roads on the bicycle, 100 degrees. I said to my wife, it's hot. Put the bicycle on the side of by a tree. Literally, the waters. You're on a rock island in the Adriatic Sea. I rested the bicycle on a tree. Sneakers on, socks, shorts, sweating, 100 degrees. Dove off of the rock right into the water. It's like a giant bathtub, the Adriatic Sea. Swimming pool. I just remember being so hot and then so cooled off. Climbed back up the rock, got on the bike, soaking wet, no towel, kept riding. This is a great moment in my life. The company's called Backroads. If you really want a trip of a lifetime, do Croatia with the group called Backroads. All right, joining me now in studio, I'm so blessed, the great Reed Fowler. Reed, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I feel like talking football is last on our priority list here, all those great stories that you guys have.
Well, it is very important because this is a big weekend for football.
Yeah.
And your expertise, which I appreciate, I think you're the best in the business at it.
Thank you.
Is handicapping for the fantasy football fans. And I got a lot of people driving around who want to know sure. what's up this weekend. So let's break it down. Today's games, tomorrow's games, who's the first game? Who do you think's going to win? What are the odds and why? And tell us a little bit about the story behind each of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, so the first game up is Minnesota Vikings at the 49ers. And look, both of these guys, right, especially Kirk Cousins, have a lot of question marks coming into this. I mean, in terms of playoffs, can he win the big game? We know his record under the lights, right, Monday Night Football. He's just he can't win on Monday night, and he really can't do that. And so now in the playoffs, and you look at a guy like Jimmy G on the 49ers side really making his first start in the playoffs, who's going to reign supreme? When you look at playoff football, it's always about coaches and quarterback play. We look at the greats, right? The Joe Montanas, the Steve Youngs. Even here locally, right? I mean, Jared Goff had a good run last year, maybe not this year, but we're now looking at how quarterbacks are being played. And if you look at these guys, both of them, Kirk Cousins might be someone that we've grossly underestimated, especially on the road and especially with this defense. Again, really good quarterbacks. You know, when you look at the playoffs, don't necessarily always reign supreme. It's the defense. And so now you have this team who went into New Orleans, beat the Saints, who everyone thought was going to be in the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and now they come to San Francisco as 7-point underdogs, being able to really rest their laurels on the run game, their defense, and Kirk Cousins just not making mistakes. And that's what they need to do. And if you look at the 49ers, their defense over the last 4 to 5 weeks, not been as great as they were, but they're getting a lot of people back from injuries. So we talk about injuries, D. Ford, Quan Alexander, these guys who've had severe injuries that kept them out of the game. Their defense really gets a lot of bolstering this today. And so that's going to – I think Minnesota's going to cover here the spread of getting a touchdown, but San Francisco is just too good of a team right now.
Right, and I think one of their players had a pec major rupture, like J.J. Watt, 8 weeks later, back on the field. That's a season-ending injury in the past. The reason it's not anymore is thanks to orthopedic surgery and the tools we now have. We're able to place anchors. Literally, here's a clapper vision. If you took a screw, which has threads, and then the screw head, if you just kept the threaded part of the screw and had a metal loop coming off the top of that shaft of that metal screw, instead of a screwdriver head, a loop, and you put a stitch through that loop, we no longer have to drill holes through and through the bone like we did before to anchor the tendon back to the bone, which it ripped off. We can just fire these darts into the bone. The stitches are attached, and it just makes our surgery so much more elegant. And a big leader in this field is a company called Arthrex, who I love, who really are at the forefront of a lot of these surgeries. So these season-ending injuries, in many respects career-ending injuries, those players can come back mid-season. And you mark my words, Reed Fowler, with what technology we have right now, we're going to see in the next season or two a player with a torn ACL come back mid-season from that injury because we're going to repair it, not need to use a graft to reconstruct it.
Well, it's unbelievable. If you look at Tua Tagovailoa, a guy that's from Hawaii, right? He had a high ankle sprain 2 years in a row. And
3 weeks later, he's back.
3 weeks later, he's back, which is...
And I got news for you. His most recent devastating injury, everybody relates it to Bo Jackson. It's not going to be Bo Jackson.
Right.
He's going to be back healthy. I'm so glad he's leaving Alabama because he belongs right. in the NFL.
Right. So, I mean, we both have an affinity for the Hawaiian Islands, and he's going to be a great ambassador. But kind of nice little segue of Tennessee Titans going up against Baltimore. We had Marcus Mariota there for a little bit. Now look at that quarterback in Ryan Tannehill.
So tell me, you're a football expert. Yeah. What the hell happened that Marcus Mariota is amazing? What is they said, okay, the offensive line, he couldn't really perform well as a quarterback. Tannehill has no problem with the same offensive line. So does that mean Marcus is not as what we think he is?
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, if you look at Marcus Mariota, and again, both quarterbacks. I mean, Ryan Tannehill was he started in college as a receiver, and so when he became a quarterback later on in his college years, he only had a handful of years of experience playing under center. But when you look at what Marcus Mariota and what he had a ton of offensive coordinators come through that organization where he couldn't get any sort of repetition, any familiarity with an offense. It all has changed time and time again. Mm. When you Ryan Tannehill, if you look into that, you got nothing to lose, right? I mean, Marcus Mariota, top two pick in the NFL draft right behind Jameis Winston, there might be some expectation that the guy has that he has to perform as a top two back or a top two quarterback, but yet what system was he put in to succeed? And we always talk about that, right? How do you give yourself the right environment to succeed? And Marcus Mariota, with all the talent in the world, if you don't have any sort of, you know, and we see this a lot too with a lot of these quarterbacks, these coaching carousels come through and through and through. Mm-hmm. How is a quarterback one of the hardest positions in sports? How are you going to have any sort of continuity if everything is changing year over year?
Reed Fowler, the hottest news here in Los Angeles is we have the greatest high school football players of all. Southern California is so rich. It's like Florida. It's like Texas. And they can't seem to stay in the state of California. They all go to Oregon and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know who would have the greatest football team in America if they just stayed put? The University of Hawaii. Yeah. You'd have Tua Tagovailoa and Marcus Mariota and all these great players who leave the state of Hawaii.
Right.
But it's probably in their best interest for their families to leave. But it just kills you every time you hear that they're going to other states to do well.
Well, just because the
opportunities.
The opportunity.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So Tennessee, Baltimore. Listen, I went to the Monday night football game to see. I wanted to see with my own eyes Lamar Jackson. What is so special? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. He destroyed the Rams. I left after the first half. It was over. And it's not because he's just flight of foot that he's speedy, which he is.
Right.
He's a quarterback. He knows what to do. He's intelligent. He's, you know, all the reasons these so-called experts made Tom Brady the 199th pick.
Right.
Okay. The Mike Piazza, the last, they did a favor for Tommy Lasorda. I just love it. These people have no idea what they're looking at.
Right.
How could you not pick Lamar Jackson? In retrospect, you can see it, but I'm not a football expert. How do they miss this?
Right. I mean, when you look at, well, it's the group thought. Right. It's you catch yourself thinking like the group where Bill Polian's, there are experts who do this for a living, the scouts that say, well, he's better fit at maybe a wide receiver because of his skill set. And we still have guys who are on this network saying, hey, look, we want a tall quarterback, a 6'5", 6'6", quarterback.
Russell Wilson.
Look at Russell Wilson. Look at Tua. Look at Kyler Murray. So the whole position is changing. And if you, even a guy like Taysom Hill. Right?
I watched Doug Flutie. He has an intangible. He's a leader of men. And that is something, the heart of a champion, you can't measure that.
Right. And so, when you look at Lamar Jackson, it's not just him. His footwork is fantastic. The Ravens defense, this entire team. And when you have a coach like Harbaugh, have a young team like this.
Who made the team in response to his talented Lamar Jackson. Joe Flacco, he won, you know, okay, great. But for him to be able to rip up the playbook and say, not many coaches would do that. You got to root for that. So you're saying Baltimore in the Baltimore-Tennessee game.
Yeah, but Tennessee, look, Tennessee went into New England. They went into New England and they beat them.
Okay.
But look at Baltimore. This line has changed. It's gone up to 10 in some spots. Now it's down to 9.5. I still like Baltimore in this. If it got up to 10, which I don't think it will, I'm just going to stay here. Give me Baltimore.
All right, I'm going to save your Sunday games for later. We'll take a break, Steve Paulette. Is that okay? Take a break? Okay, we'll take a break, pay some bills. We'll come back. Going to tell some stories and tell you where the best rice pudding in Los Angeles is because it has the maximum cinnamon, sugar, and raisins. And the color of the raisins in this rice pudding is not brown. They're green. Oh, my God. It's just a pillow of heaven on earth. I'll tell you where that rice pudding is coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. And loving it. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. My favorite TV show, Get Smart. And we lost this week the co-creator, Mel Brooks and Buck Henry. And of course, when I read his obituary, I think his first name was Henry and the last name was like Kornberg or something. Which is great. Why not? It's like Bob Dylan when Ed Bradley on 60 Minutes asked him, why did you change your name from Robert Zimmerman to Bob Dylan? I didn't like my name. It doesn't get any more complicated than or simple than that. Why should you have the name that someone gave you if you don't like it? Next week, my guest is going to be the great Jerry Mink, one of my favorite radiologists in town. You talk about the eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know. The gifted radiologist to study an MRI, to study an X-ray, is fantastic. I mean, I read all my own X-rays. I read all the MRIs and CAT scans, and I do a lot of them. But having a radiologist like Jerry Mink to pat you on the shoulder and go, yep, that's exactly what I see, is super helpful. So I can't wait to have him next Saturday. I want to tell so many stories right now about this Mediterranean concept. And I'm going to do that at the top of the hour. But I can't control myself. So just give you a little bit of insight. The greatest building ever built was built 2,500 years ago. It's a perfect building. It sits on top of the highest spot in Athens called, the highest spot is called the Acropolis. But the building is called the Parthenon. But due to air pollution and time, it's decaying. So listen to some of these sound bites about what it's like to restore a building that has over 70,000 different blocks of marble. Each one of these blocks weighs 10 tons. How did those ancient Greeks get it up to the top of the mountain? And then, like a jigsaw puzzle, put each of the pieces together. This is a preview of what's coming up at the top of the hour. I can't hear the sound bite.
We do not damage the acid material. The theory is that we preserve all the original pieces and we add only a few marble in order to fit them to the general construction.
So it's interesting. In the reconstruction and restoring the Parthenon, they're using hammers and chisels. They're not using power tools because you actually can't make it the way it was with the modern tools.
This capital, once atop a column, typifies the struggle they face. It is in six pieces, with many fragments still missing. First, master marble masons need to puzzle together what pieces they can find, then meticulously recreate what is missing.
Mm.
The block itself weighs 10 tons. It will need to be hoisted to the top of a column consisting of 11 drums, of which many are also fragmented.
11 different pieces.
Together, the drums and capital may have to support up to 100 tons of surviving marble beams and sculpture.
100 tons. So a ton is 2,000 pounds. Those giant trucks that are on the road next to you right now, that's a ton. Okay? Can you imagine 10 of them? Stacked one on top of each other? Okay, that's fine. You and I would call someone who has a crane and lift it up. There's no engine. There's no steel cables. They're pulling things with rope made of hemp. This is 2,500 years ago. They're getting stacks of 10-ton blocks, one on top. Just appreciate that. Just let that marinate in your head a little bit. We'll get into more of that because at 8:15, my guest is the great Jessica Siegel talking about something else that's from the Mediterranean that's simple and yet incredibly complex. the Mediterranean diet. We'll get into the influence of the Mediterranean in the NBA with Tony Kukoc, the Parthenon in art, and I'll speak a little bit about what I do in surgery as well. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710.